those Bibles as they come by. Today is our last sermon in our key spiritual topics series this January. We've already considered the biblical theology of evangelism. We've considered the biblical theology of the Holy Spirit. Last week was the biblical theology of human sexuality. And today we turn our attention to the biblical theology of church membership. And 1 Corinthians chapter 12 is actually a very fitting scripture to frame our study on church membership. As I read this text for us, I want you to listen because you're going to notice words like individual and parts and members and body. So listen for those words as I read this text because clearly God desires for individual Christians to belong to a larger body, which is Christ's body, made visible in this world through the local church. So I'd invite you to stand and honor the public reading of God's word as we read from the English Standard Translation. I'll begin reading 1 Corinthians chapter 12, starting in verse 12. This is the living words of our God. "For just as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of the body, though they are many, are one body, so it is with Christ. For in one spirit we were all baptized into one body, Jews and Greeks, slaves or free, and all were made to drink of one spirit. For the body does not consist of one member, but of many. If the foot should say, 'Because I'm not the hand, I do not belong to the body,' that would not make it any less a part of the body. And if the ear should say, 'Because I'm not an eye, I don't belong to the body,' that would not make it any less a part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, what would be the sense of hearing? And if the whole body were an ear, where would be the sense of smell? But as it is, God arranged the members in the body, each one of them, as he chose. And if all were a single member, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, yet one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, 'I have no need of you,' nor again the head to the feet, 'I have no need of you.' On the contrary, the parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. And on those parts of the body that we think less honorable, we bestow the greater honor, and our unpresentable parts are treated with greater modesty, which our more presentable parts do not require. But as God has so composed the body, he's given greater honor to the part that lacked it, that," verse 25, "that there may be no division in the body, but that the members may have the same care for one another. If one member suffers, all suffer together. If one member is honored, all rejoice together. Now, you are the body of Christ and individually members of it." This concludes the reading of God's word. You may be seated this morning. Please pray with me as we come to meditate on this beautiful topic of the many members in one body. So, Father, we come humbly, so thankful for your word, so thankful that you have revealed yourself to us this morning, so thankful, Father, that we have the privilege of gathering together to worship, to receive the revelation of your word, and to respond with gratitude and with sacrifice and with praise and with obedience. Oh God, I pray that your spirit would work in me, in us, through your word, on this topic of our commitment to one another in the body of Christ. Father, I confess on behalf of us this morning that in all of us there is this spirit of independence and this spirit of self-reliance. And I pray that that through this jet tour of Scripture this morning, somehow your Spirit would awaken us to the greater glories of Christ, to the joy of mutual submission, to the wonder of supernatural love. We wait for you. We love you. Please increase our love for you through the preaching of your word now, we ask. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, it's no secret that formal church membership has fallen on hard times in our modern culture in today's church. Today, many churches practically ignore the entire concept of church membership as they just seek to make belonging to their local assembly as easy as possible for everyone who comes. So the majority of churchgoers today end up just dating the church, receiving the benefits without any accountability, without any commitment. After all, what matters most is one's personal relationship with Jesus, right? And so it really doesn't matter what church you go to, if you even go to church at all, or if you go to 10 different churches. And so local churches have become, in our culture, more of a revolving door for autonomous religious consumers as they seek the preaching and the music and the children's ministry and the community of their own personal preference, all the while cultivating an unknown critical spirit that justifies the easy departure from one assembly to go to another assembly the moment that they think they can get a better deal somewhere else. But the scriptures actually teach something far better, far superior about Christ's church, his bride, his body. God's design for his local church is far better than what a popular church hopper might tell you. God has a good and biblical design for local church membership. Now, let's make it personal. As best as we can tell, here at Newcastle Bible Church, there are 694 total children and adults who regularly attend the worship gatherings here. Now, obviously, not everyone's here every week, as our average total weekly attendance is only 535 people. But there are presently a total of 473 adults in our community who would claim Newcastle Bible Church as their home church. And of those 473 attending adults, only 296 of them are presently church members here. So approximately two-thirds of us are formal church members and one-third of us are not. Interesting statistics, perhaps. But regardless of whether you're here or here, today's sermon is for you. Both our church members and our non-church members need to be refreshed with God's good design for church membership. We all need to better understand why church membership is something God has designed for our good. Now, there's lots of misconceptions today about what church membership really is. Some believe that church membership just gives a person the right to vote at an annual business meeting of the church. Some believe, oh, the only reason we have church membership is because it's a legal protection for the church who disciplines a professing believer who's continuing in unrepentant sin. And then for most of us, probably, we're just kind of indifferent. We're not against church membership, but we're willing to do it. But we perhaps don't, we only see it as a cultural expression that really makes no difference in one's personal relationship with God at all. But God's design for formal church membership is good. And today we're going to survey scriptures a lot of scriptures. I'm going to go fast. You're going to have to put up with it this morning. But we're going to discover that God actually intends for you to officially identify with a local church. God desires every Christian to belong and publicly identify with a local church. So in this sermon, when I use the words church membership, I'm referring to the cultural means by which a person publicly identifies with a particular, specific local church. Church membership is how the Christian and the local church intentionally express their commitments to one another for the glory of God. That's what church membership is. So let's observe three reasons now why God intends every Christian to officially identify with a local church through formal church membership. First, your church membership connects you with church history, biblical history. Now, this is important because Scripture nowhere explicitly commands Christians to take a class or to sign a covenant of membership. But while Scripture never explicitly commands church membership, it clearly assumes local church membership throughout the entire New Testament. The book of Acts presents a very strong example of Christians belonging in local churches. So the possibility of being saved and living apart from the church, that concept is entirely foreign to the New Testament. For example, Acts consistently records how new believers were added to the church. Now, we might debate whether or not there was public church, formal church membership roles in the church, but we can't debate the New Testament pattern. People would repent of their sins. People would believe in the Lord Jesus Christ for their salvation. People would receive public baptism. And these same people would devote themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship and to the breaking of bread and to the prayers of the local church. New Testament Christians always joined with a local assembly of believers. There's no such thing as a lone ranger, autonomous Christian in the New Testament. There's just not. Further, the scriptures clearly present an example of care within local churches. The local church is God's design for Christians' relational care for one another. We see this first illustrated in Acts chapter 6, where the church in Jerusalem was caring for the believing widows that were scattered all across the region. And this care was organized by and received through the local church. So when complaints came to the apostles about how some of the widows were being neglected in their distribution of aid, they charged the local church in Jerusalem to select 7 men from among them in the church to make sure that all the Christian widows were properly being cared for. So Acts 6 is clear. The mutual care of Christians was organized through and received by or from the local body of the church. 1 Timothy 5:9 gives further evidence that Christian widows were publicly identified on a list in the local church for the sake of their financial aid. So care for individual Christians was administered through one's public identification with your local church. It wasn't just for widows. All throughout the New Testament, whenever the scriptures speak of Christians caring for other Christians, these efforts were done by and through local churches. Further, scripture clearly reveals an example of leadership in local churches. The New Testament assumes that every Christian will be under the leadership of a local church. So just think with me for a moment. When God was breathing out his scriptures, all of the New Testament epistles are written to a local church or a leader of a local church. So God assumes that all the Christians are going to receive access to his word because his word is being given to local churches. And he believes, God assumes that every individual Christian is going to be benefiting from the spiritual leadership of a local church. Verses like Acts 15, 22 make it clear that the leaders knew specifically who was in their congregation. In fact, 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 1 implies that church leaders actually provided letters of recommendation for their church members who are transferring from their church to go to another local church. So biblical history assumes that all Christ followers will belong to a local church. They'll receive benevolence by means of their association with the local church. They'll be publicly identifiable with a local church leadership. So that's the first reason why every Christian should publicly identify with a local church, because your church membership officially connects you with the historical pattern that we see in Scripture. But the second reason why God intends for you to officially identify with the local church is because your church membership actually strengthens your local church. Now listen to that. If you desire for your local church to be stronger for the glory of God in your region, then you don't want to miss what I'm about to teach. Because God's word clearly teaches that your official identification with your local church actually strengthens your church's ministry for the glory of God. The first way that church membership strengthens your local church is by strengthening your church leadership. We see this most clearly in Hebrews chapter 13, verse 17. This is a profound scripture. Hebrews 13, verse 17 says, "Obey your leaders and submit to them." Now, that sounds like a great verse for a power-hungry pastor to use to try to get people to submit to him. Christians are supposed to follow their spiritual leaders. The scripture's clear. Submit and obey. But let's keep reading. Obey your leaders and submit to them, for they are keeping watch over your soul as those who will have to give an account. Now, I don't know if you heard that, but I heard that. Hebrews 13, 17 says that the spiritual leaders of the church together are responsible and accountable to God for your spiritual condition. Someday we're going to give an account to God himself for your soul and how we have shepherded your soul. Now, put yourself in the position of a church elder. Would you like to know who you are accountable to God for? Would you like to know which souls am I going to give an answer for? Am I responsible to God for every Christian in Central Illinois? Am I responsible to God for every Christian who walks into this church house on holidays? Am I responsible for every attender who may come, may not? I might not even know them. They might slip in and slip out before I even know that they're here. Who am I responsible to God for? Church leaders are held accountable only for those specific souls which voluntarily commit themselves to submit to the spiritual leadership that God has given them in their local church. Church leaders are accountable for the specific souls which voluntarily commit themselves to the flock in a formal and publicly identifiable church membership. So notice Hebrews 13, 17. Look at how it ends. It is to your joy. It is to your leader's joy. It is to your spiritual advantage to be shepherded by joyful leaders. So when you publicly commit to a local church, you help your leaders know that they are spiritually responsible for you. Your church membership adds joy to your leaders and thereby strengthens your entire ministry of the church. Second, your church membership strengthens your church's love. So here's how church membership strengthens love. Where there is no sacrifice, there is no love. Where there is no commitment, there is no love. How much love can a church body truly experience if we are just a spiritual marketplace filled with consumers all seeking to get the best bang for our buck? God's word is absolutely clear on this point. Every Christ follower is called to loving accountability, loving commitment with other Christians in the local church. Just as we read earlier from 1 Corinthians chapter 12, God puts all the individual members together into one body, each of them as he chooses. And notice verse 19. Christianity is not just about Jesus and me, because if it was all just a single member, where would the body be? Yes, God rescues individual sinners from sin. Hallelujah. But the reason that he rescues individual sinners is because he's making for himself a body. He's making for himself a bride. He's gathering together the elect to present to Jesus for his glory on the last day. The bride of Christ is filled with both rich and poor, black and white, loud and quiet. And they're called to supernaturally love one another in one body. Now, normally such diversity among different individuals would lead to division. Birds of the same feather are the ones that flock together, but not in the church. Supernaturally, the gospel breaks down all barriers and unites us as recipients, mutual fellow recipients of God's love for us. Verse 25 says, God has so composed his local church so that the members may have the same care for one another. If one member suffers, everyone suffers with him. If one member is honored, all rejoice together with that member. See, true love, it's not convenient, and it's never cheap. True love will only last if it is grounded by an undercurrent of covenant and commitment. Anybody who's been married for any length of time understands this. Because marriage gets hard. And when marriage gets hard, we're tempted to walk. We're tempted to escape. Except for we made a promise. I promised to love you in the good and the bad, in the thick and the thin, no matter what may come. It is the covenant, it is the promise that keeps fueling love when emotions have gone and left. And in the same way, the covenant of church membership strengthens the church's love because it strengthens the members' mutual commitment to one another in Christ for his glory, no matter how different we may be from one another. However, your church membership also strengthens your church's purity. In 1 Corinthians chapter 5, Paul clearly argues for a defined boundary of who's part of the church and who's isn't part of the church. In 1 Corinthians 5:1, Paul refers to one of the church's members in Corinth who is living in adultery with his stepmom. Verse 2, are you not arrogant? Ought you not rather to mourn? Let him who has done this be removed from among you. So the purity of the church's worship and the purity of the church's witness is being tarnished by their tolerance of another member's sin. And so Paul says this member needs to be removed from among them. Now, this is a logical argument for formal church membership, because how do you formally remove someone from a group if they haven't first been formally included within a group? Paul goes on in verses 12 and 13. Is it not those inside the church whom you are to judge? God judges those outside. So God intends for there clearly to be a line of demarcation between those who are inside the church and those who are outside the church. Please listen. Regular attendance does not commit a person or put them on the inside of a church any more than regular attendance at a sporting event puts you on the team. Church membership is the formal process by which you publicly identify yourself with a particular local church. It's what defines who's on the inside and who's still on the outside of the local church. So finally, your church membership also strengthens your church's fellowship, or you could use the word partnership together. Just think about this practically. When you become a member of a local church, what happens? Well, the elders, they affirm that you've been born again by the Spirit of God. You agree to a common doctrinal statement. You unite your time, your talents, your treasures together around a shared mission or passion for the glory of Christ in your region. See, membership confirms and affirms the spiritual fellowship and oneness of an entire body of people. So the process of formal church membership ensures that all the individual parts are having the same love. They're being in full accord. They have the same mind. So can you see how church membership is far more important than just voting privileges for an annual church business meeting, right? God's church membership is God's good design to strengthen your local church's ministry. So church membership is consistent with the example of biblical church history. It's good for your church, and also church membership is good for you personally. It benefits you personally. Officially belonging to a local body of God's people is good for your own soul. First, because church membership affirms your spiritual life. Remember, only the forgiven can enter God's family. Only the forgiven are granted access into his church. Any person is welcome to attend and witness the church's worship of Jesus Christ. But theologically speaking, the church is made up only of those who have been born again by the living Spirit of God. And church leaders are given responsibility to affirm the evidence of spiritual life within the souls under their charge. You see this in Galatians chapter 2, verse 9, where the apostles actually affirmed and confirmed the grace that was in Paul and Barnabas before they gave them the right hand of fellowship. Also in Matthew chapter 16 and also Matthew 18, Jesus teaches that church leaders hold the keys to the kingdom. They have the responsibility to bind and to loose. Church leaders are accountable to discern who is inside and who is outside of God's kingdom. And so that's why church membership, the process of church membership, actually includes a step where a couple of your elders meet with you personally to affirm, to hear your testimony, to ask you questions, to get to know you well enough that they can publicly affirm that yes, you have been born again. There is evidence of God's Spirit in your life. This is why you must be publicly identified with Christ through believers' baptism before you would ever be able to publicly identify with Christ's body, the church, in church membership. So even though our process of church membership and our practice of church membership is imperfect, and God, of course, is the final judge of one's salvation, it is good. It is very good for you to have your spiritual shepherds get to know you well enough that they're able to publicly affirm that God is alive and working in you. Second, church membership is beneficial by defining your spiritual accountability. After all, we've already seen it. God's word is clear. God desires for every Christian to obey their spiritual leaders and to submit to them. So in our age of podcasts and internet preachers, every Christian needs to figure out, who is he going to obey? How are you personally going to submit to Hebrews 13, 17's teaching? And here's where church membership helps you. It tells you which group of spiritual leaders you are responsible to obey and submit to. God's authority structure is for our good, and you can't benefit from your submission to God's delegated authority in the church if you haven't formally chosen to whom you will submit. Understand also that church membership increases your spiritual care. Membership sometimes I think membership is the wrong word, because membership in our culture communicates rights and privileges, where partnership maybe is a better word. It's a biblical word as well, and it communicates ownership and responsibilities. Because you have to understand, membership is a two-way covenant. Your commitment to the body invites greater commitment and accountability from the rest of the body towards you as well. So there's 33 biblical one another commands in the New Testament. It's scripture that directs how Christians should relate to other Christians. Pray for one another, encourage one another, serve one another, greet one another, admonish one another, etc., etc. But additionally, scriptures like Acts 20, 28 and 1 Corinthians 5:12 clearly put the elders' priority on caring for those inside the church. So practically, what are you saying, Kevin? I'm saying that practically this means the elders of Newcastle Bible Church pray for every person on our membership roll. We pray for all of our members. Each week, our membership list is divided up, emailed to each of our elders, distributed for that elder's weekly prayers. The following week, they get the next section of the membership list for their prayers the following week. It's not that we don't love our regular attenders. It's not that we don't care for our regular. It's just we understand we have a necessity to have a higher priority of commitment to those who are officially confirmed as part of this church family. We will give an account to God for the condition of the souls of the members of this church. And so there is a greater care, and there's a greater commitment, and there's greater prayerfulness for those who are members versus those who aren't. Finally, church membership benefits you by equipping you for spiritual ministry. I've said a lot of things this morning. I feel like I'm saying them fast, so please don't miss this next point. The church is not about volunteerism. The church of Jesus Christ is about worship. And that's why we limit most of the ministries of the church to our members. Because it is to worship the Lord through volunteering requires the presence of the Spirit of God. It requires that you have been converted. It requires that you have been forgiven of your sins and adopted. So we reserve ministry for church members in order to ensure that our volunteers are truly powered by the Spirit and truly of one accord and of one mind in our partnership together. Additionally, God gives pastors and teachers to shepherd and care for and to equip the saints for the work of the ministry. So to equip you to minister under the control of the Spirit of God for His glory in our world. We must think deeply about the dangers of individual Christians self-commissioning themselves for ministry. So here's the point. God intends for you and me to officially identify with a local church. It's the clear example from biblical history. It's good for your church and it's good for you. So no matter where you are currently, if you're an official member of our church or not, today I'm asking each of us to renew our commitment to our church membership. It all starts by submitting yourself first to our amazing God and his glorious gospel. See, I'm going to make it personal. Your self-reliant heart of independence can finally rest and find a sense of belonging as you submit to the lordship of Jesus Christ himself. So today's a day of salvation. Today's a day of amazing grace that will forgive sins. Jesus' blood paid for your sins. Jesus' tomb is empty to give you newness of life. And you will never understand what I've taught today. You will never understand the joys of submitting to a body until you have first understood how much our Heavenly Father loves you. So will you surrender to him today? Will you believe that God truly loves you and that his designs for you are actually better than your own? God saved you and I with a glorious purpose, to make for himself a bride, a body, a church, to build a body where all the individual members, though they are many, are truly one body. This is the theology of biblical church membership. So here's the opportunity that's before us. This coming Saturday, after the men's challenge breakfast, I'm going to be teaching a 3-hour membership class here at the church. And you're all invited. If you're already a member, if you're already a member of Newcastle Bible Church, but you have not attended one of the membership classes in the last few years, please consider coming to this class. I believe these 3 hours will be sincerely renewing to your practical understanding of how we practice church membership here together. If you're not yet a member, please come. Attending the class doesn't commit you to membership. It's just exploratory, as it will help you better understand what it practically means in our specific context here as we take the theology and apply it into the daily shoe leather of life together here at Newcastle. Will you invest 3 hours this Saturday, after the men's breakfast, to renew your commitment to church membership? If you do, I believe both you and our entire church will grow spiritually as we better reflect God's good design for loving one another and worshiping him together as we follow the biblical example of Scripture. Let's pray. So, Father, thank you. Thank you so much that your word is so practical that it actually addresses such matters as how we relate to one another in the context of a local church. And Father, I pray that you continue to strengthen us. Oh God, please move among your people. Forgive us for our pride and self-reliance. Forgive me, Father, for thinking that sometimes I have what I need myself and I don't need other people. Father, these attitudes, these mindsets are so contrary to the work of your gospel, the work of your Spirit in us. So I pray, Father, that you would purify us as a people today, that you would really cleanse us and free us in the freedom of love. Father, I pray that you would bless Newcastle Bible Church for the sake of your name, for the sake of your glory. Through Christ we pray. Amen.